Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
Well, let's continue our message series here. We are studying what is mission critical. We're talking about how Jesus was more productive in 3 years than all of us combined in our entire lifetime. And some of us are like, well, he was the Son of God, but who lives inside of you and me? The Son of God. Jesus lives in us, right? And so it's not a call to strive and to be a workaholic, but it is a call to really look at our lives and see, God, what is mission critical? I want to do what you're doing. Amen? So I have my two very important introductions here. Two hot dogs were having a race. One overtook the other, who called out, I see you've mustered the strength to catch up with me. That was very bad. All right. Why did the fish stop lifting weights? He pulled a muscle. Someone said muscle. Yes, he pulled a muscle. It's okay to laugh. I know it's winter, but like we have to keep our endorphins going here. It gets a little sad outside. All right. So we're talking mission critical, and if you didn't guess, we're talking about strength this morning. I don't know if you noticed, but I do try to find jokes that go with the topic, so it's a little clue before we get into it. So we see in the Gospels that Jesus is always going one step deeper from just living the Great Commission to living mission critical, right? And last week, we talked about mission critical in our souls, in our identity, in our appetite. We asked the question, what are you hungry for? Because what you are hungry for determines how you live. And we talked about how we all have love deficits, and Jesus' sozo healing can restore, rescue, and deliver us. And we talked about choosing to love God with our soul is choosing to receive God into the hidden places and root areas of our lives. Anybody have a week where you saw some roots that you didn't know were there? I don't know about you, but as we're talking about the message series, it's like the message series kind of reads me a little bit, right? And I hope it's doing that to you too, because that's the word of God bringing freedom. We talked about last week inviting Jesus into the painful areas of our lives and receiving his healing and his truth that sets free. We talked about forgiving those who have wronged us, and sometimes the hardest one is ourselves. And we talked about living like we are loved because we are. Amen. Anybody wake up and then have your day, and then you're like, man, I lived for love instead of from love. It's an incredible shift in your position and your perspective in life, but I encourage you this week to continue living like you are loved because you are. The first week we talked about mission critical with our hearts, or our seat of decision in our will. And we talked about what direction are your decisions taking you. If your vision is more on what Jesus can do for you instead of who Jesus is, your priorities will stray from mission critical. And this is because there will always come a time when you can't see what Jesus is doing for you. But that's when we need to go back to mission critical and realize who he is, because that doesn't change. Amen? All right, so mission critical means that it is absolutely necessary for the functioning and survival of the mission or the organization. And as Pastor Brian put it, if we haven't already defined what's mission critical, a crisis will determine it for us with fear and lack rather than with the abundant life of Jesus. It's very easy when there's a lot of chaos to realize, I've got to survive and I've got to reduce my life down to mission critical. But there's an invitation in Jesus that even when it's not in the chaos, we are still called to live with mission critical. And you see this with the Israelites, because in the hard times, they were able to run to Jesus. And then when times got good, all these things got added to their life, and suddenly they didn't feel like it was actually necessary to live mission critical, and they strayed from God, right? And I always like to think I'm better than the Israelites, but we really aren't, right? So our key verse is found in Mark 12, 30 through 31. It says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And the second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. So remember that word love is agape, and it's love that requires a choice. Who chose to love somebody that was hard to love this week? Don't look at anybody here. Okay, keep your eyes closed, every head bowed. Who, if you're being real honest, you don't have to raise your hand here, chose to not love somebody and then realize it later. It was like, oops, I made the wrong choice, right? And for some of us, that looks like we didn't choose to love God in that decision. Some of us didn't choose to love ourselves and had some self-rejection and spiraled. And I love this because it's love that requires a choice. It's a powerful love, right? So that wall of compassion in the back that Steve got to quote this morning, let's keep choosing to love our neighbor this week. And I know we had a goal of like 1,000 post-it notes last summer. I love it. You're like, if your vision isn't bigger than you are, then it's too small. However, we have some catching up to do, okay? So Christmas time, Thanksgiving time for some of us is the best, for some of us is the worst time of year. And let's keep in mind that that's true for those of us around us too. So choose to love somebody and put it on the post-it note. It's all anonymous. Stick it on the wall. And we're going to be sharing those weekly just to celebrate what God's doing in our community. Amen? All right. So let's get into the message this morning. We are talking about strength. And if you were here a couple months ago, we did an entire month on core strength. So I'm not going backwards. Don't worry. I didn't pull an old message out from, I think it was August. And Brian, thank God, did not bring his weights back to church. Those weights were here for like 3 months because no one could move them but him. And so they're gone now. We're all clear with the weights, but we're gonna look at the word strength in a little bit of a different perspective. But how many of us going into winter would have loved just a little bit of a break in between fall and winter, right? And if that's you, I know that's me, and so that's more of what we're going to be talking about with the word strength. So that word key verse, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. So that word strength means power, might, force, ability. One commentary says God's staying power, his holding power. And it's used 11 times in the New Testament. I love that because how many have thought that your ability to run from God is stronger than God's ability to hold you in love? Anybody have more confidence in yourself than in God? Because that's actually what we're saying, right? That word trust means I'm going to trust your ability more than mine. And when we say, God, I don't trust you, we're not saying, it sounds like, oh yeah, that must be really hard to trust God. But really what we're saying is, I don't trust you, I trust my ability more, right? And that never ends well. I'm just going to tell you now, do not bother, right? For all of humanity, it never worked to trust yourself more than God. According to one commentary, it is often used in the New Testament to describe the strength of God, the power of his might, or the strength that believers are encouraged to have in their spiritual life. But this was interesting. It emphasizes the ability to exert force or influence and is often spiritual or moral in context for this word of strength. But let's rewind back to Deuteronomy 6:5 because our key verse is actually an Old Testament verse that is quoted, right? And that's cool because normally our key verse for the month doesn't have two layers like that. So let's go back to the Old Testament. And that word strength in Hebrew means very, exceedingly, greatly, abundance, and it's often used to underscore the intensity of emotions, actions, or characteristics. So that's a little different than strength, right? In Genesis 1:31, it says, God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. That word very is the word translated for strength. Very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. I know I'm going like into deep like definitions of words, but we will come up for air in just 5 seconds. This word is just really interesting because in English it's just like strong, but there's so much more to the word. The ancient Aramaic translations of the Hebrew Bible actually translated this word as wealth because it opens all kinds of opportunities to love God by giving away our resources. I thought that was interesting. So this word really can mean a lot in the Old Testament. It's a very broad word, but I thought it was interesting that really at the heart of it, it's underscoring the intensity of emotions. Now, I don't know about you, but how do you underscore the intensity of emotions? Usually it's a word that does not love God. Think about that, right? Normally emphasizing words are words that maybe we wouldn't want to say around children. But here it's saying, choose to love God in how you emphasize your life. Has a word ever slipped out because you're emphasizing something? And you're like, well, I'm just trying to get the point across. Well, here it's actually saying to love God in how you emphasize. I just thought that was an interesting, that's not what the message is about, but it was interesting. So if we're zooming out, the basic summary of all those definitions are, am I choosing to love God with every opportunity I have, with every opportunity of abundance, right? So let's look at our key verse one last time. Love the Lord your God, and if we look at all the definitions, with all your decisions, with all your will, with all your identity, with all your appetite, with all your ability, with all your power, with all your influence, and with all your wealth, with all your abundance, and with all you emphasize. Doesn't that just make that scripture just a little bit more rich if you're looking at it? So the issue that I started to realize is if I don't know I have cash in my pocket, I won't give it to the person in need that I'm walking by. Have you ever put your coat on in the new winter and you put cash in it from last winter? It is the best thing. You should, like, every person should always put some cash in at the end. It's like it should be the ritual, right? Spring's coming, putting cash in my pocket, putting my coat away, because it's like you're rich, right? But I've been, you know, walking down the street and I need some cash and I didn't know I had it in my pocket because I put it in there a year ago, right? You get home and you're like, what? Is this mine, right? If you don't know you have it, you can't give it away, right? You can't use it. If I don't know I've got a steak, I'm going to settle for some French fries next to me, right? If we don't know we have it, we won't use it, we won't share it, we won't give it. If I don't think I have any ability, if I don't think I have any abundance of God in my life, if I don't think I have any influence, I sure won't choose to love God with it, right? And what I realized was the enemy doesn't have to steal our actual ability or our actual influence if he just steals our awareness of it. And so if we start to think, oh, I don't have anything to give God, if I don't have any ability, if I don't have any influence, if I don't have any abundant life in my life, you don't know my life, then how can we choose to love God with it? Are you following? Does that make sense? And what really starts to happen is we start to believe that we have nothing to share. We have nothing to give. And then we have nothing to love God with. I heard the lie as I was writing this, like, love God with all your strength. And I literally heard this. You don't even have enough strength to do what you need to get, like, done in your life. How are you supposed to love God with it? I literally heard that. I don't know if that was someone here or that was just me this week, but I literally heard, love God with your strength. You don't have enough strength to do what you have to do to get by. How are you supposed to have enough to love God with it? If you're honest, a lot of us live like that. And I looked up some statistics of fatigue, which made me very fatigued looking at this. This was not encouraging. It says the average Americans, this was New York Post, so they're going to be different studies, but the average American spends 1,460 hours a year feeling tired. That's 60 days. I actually thought that was pretty optimistic. I was like, I feel like it's more than 60 days, but you know what? We'll go with 60 days. And then the survey found that 58% said feeling tired often keeps them from enjoying life. And so when we just look at that word strength as effort, and like, man, I got to muster some strength to love God, instead of realizing it means influence, it means ability, it means abundance, we can easily disqualify ourselves from loving God. Have you ever disqualified yourself, right? Or discounted yourself? Luke 21, 1 through 4 says, and he looked up, and this is Jesus, and he saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury, and he saw also a certain poor widow putting in 2 mites. So he said, truly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all. For all these out of their abundance have put in offerings for God, but she out of her poverty put in all the livelihood that she had. Brian and I were talking about the point for this, and he was like, it's called Heaven's Economy. I was like, you got to write a book called Heaven's Economy. I'd love to read that. Because when we think we have nothing to give, God sees all that we have. Amen. Right? And what is really crucial here is this is not some motivational pep talk. This is life or death, because the world does not need a church that thinks it has no ability. Come on now. Where is the ability if the church doesn't have ability? Right. Where is it going to come from? It's not coming from somewhere else, and it's not about the church. It's about Jesus, right? The body of Christ on earth. But if we think humility is saying, I have no ability, how are we going to love God with our ability? It doesn't make sense, right? If we think humility is, oh, I don't have any influence, oh, I don't have any. Then, and God is saying, I gave you everything you need for the people around you in your life right now, even if you don't think you have it. You don't have to muster it together. We just need to sit in high places and realize what he's given us. And sometimes we need to encourage each other to remind each other what we actually have from the cross. You following? So I was looking this up because I wanted to just stir some hope. And I wanted to remove despair and disqualification, because we can so easily disqualify ourselves. And who has ever said something and disqualified somebody else? Sometimes you don't even realize it. You just say it and you just disqualify. You just cut them at the knees. And some of us are great at cutting ourselves right there, right? So some of us, our self-talk is doing it. But I looked up 3 people, and pardon me, because I'm going to have a hard time saying their names, so I might just say their first name. But the first one is named Mallory. She entered the hospital for a procedure for her back pain and left a paraplegic at 18 years old. She had been an avid swimmer before the injury. Less than 12 months after returning, Mallory broke her first set of world records. She didn't give up. Over the next 4 years, she broke 34 American records and 15 world records. She is now a 12-time world champion swimmer and a 2-time Paralympic medalist from the London 2012 Games. She continues to compete and speak across the globe. She was a sweet girl. I looked up a photo. Kyle was born with a rare condition known as congenital amputation that left him with arms that at the end of the elbows and legs that end near his knees. In 2012, Kyle became the first quadruple amputee to climb the 19,340-foot Mount Kilimanjaro without the aid of prosthetics. 4 years later, in 2016, he reached the summit of Argentina's Mount Aconcagua. What matters is it's 22,838 feet high. All right. And it's the highest peak in the Western and Southern hemispheres. Now he's a motivational speaker, an author, and an ESPY award-winning mixed martial artist. Lastly, Nick. And you probably know Nick because he's all over the internet. I'm not going to try to say his last name. But he was born with no limbs. He often recalls that as a child, he suffered ridicule and discrimination. He even attempted to commit suicide. With time, however, he learned to see his potential. Nick taught himself to improvise to accomplish several skills, including playing musical instruments and using the computer. In 2005, Nick founded Life Without Limbs in order to spread hope and inspiration around the world. And he's a Christian. I don't know about the others. And so Don't let the people around you or your past define your ability and your influence. Jesus has placed a call. He has placed gifts inside each one of us. And every person here has a circle of influence. It might be your family. It might be your coworkers. It might be one friend right now. Wherever it is, we have a call to love God with our influence, with our gifts. You following? So my question is, what area in your life have you been disqualifying yourself from loving God? What area in your life have you been discounting yourself and saying, I don't have anything to offer anyway, so it's all good? Think about that for a second. God defines strength. God defines ability and influence and abundance. A widow's mite of strength and ability in the world's eyes equals not much, right? But in God's eyes, it equals everything. And so have you ever, like, maybe some of us, depending on how we grew up in high school, there was like the kid that could do everything. I had a friend that could literally do everything. He was teaching at his school while he was in high school. All right? And I was like, I get to be his friend, right? Because I'm like, this guy's got to be like a whiz. And it was so easy for me to be like, he has every single gifting. He could do anything with his life, and I don't, right? And then years later, we talked, and I found out that he had actually been jealous of something that I had gotten to do. And I was like, what? What are you talking about? Didn't you see your life? And so there's always someone that we think will have more influence or more ability or more giftings. There's always somebody we can disqualify ourselves with. But just be in mind that someone's probably doing it with you too. So what if instead of going this way, we just look to God and realize we each have something to share? We each have the ability to love God because his ability lives inside of us. Amen? So let's just go just another step deeper. This is really important because as we talk about mission critical, it is so easy to start striving to do the mission, to start trying to muster our strength or pull ourselves together instead of actually choosing to trust God and say, God, I do not have the ability today to love whoever it is. Would you give me your ability? That's loving God in that place. That's turning weakness into strength, which he promises. Amen? For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus, and have earned our salvation through good works. Is that correct? I just love how enthusiastic we are this morning. No. Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's handiwork created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. I've heard it this way. We aren't saved from good works, but we are saved for good works. Now, some of us grew up maybe in hyper-religious environments where it seemed as though you were saved because of your good works. And then you get saved, and maybe you start coming to more of a non-denominational, however you want to describe various churches that are non-denominational, and you're like, man, I don't have to do anything, right? And you have these two extremes. One is, I got to earn everything, and one is, don't you dare tell me what to do. I am free in Christ. Right? And Jesus is right here on the cross, right? And he's like, hold on, right? I saved you for good works, not from good works, right? And so there is a call on the church to not get into a striving or an earning, because it's not about that, but it's saying, God, you first loved me, so I want to love you back. I want to give back. Right? And I'm not just talking about, this isn't some like volunteer push or anything like that. Giving back can look like so many different things depending on your life season, depending on the people around you. But we are saved for good works. Amen? And if you look at history, when the church stopped doing good works, other people tried to step in. And then the church kind of can take a back seat when really Jesus is calling us to be his hands and feet, to bring solutions where there are problems, not be complainers where there are problems. Amen? As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. 1 Peter 4:10. So I wanted to just, as we start to wrap up here, ask, how are you using your ability? How are you using your influence? How are you using your abundance to love God? Not disqualifying yourself or not getting a kick out of it. Some of us might not be disqualifying ourselves. Some of us might be so proud of the impact we're having that we aren't loving God anymore with it either, right? But most of us are probably erring on the side of, I have nothing to offer. But Jesus says, you have something to offer. In fact, he died so that you would have something to offer, and he rose so you would have something to offer. Amen? Is what you are emphasizing in your life right now pointing to yourself or pointing to Jesus? In your words, in your action, in your priorities, in how you're giving, your time, your resources, are you emphasizing Jesus or are you emphasizing something else? Maybe it's fear or lack or whatever it is. It's a good heart check. So let's just wrap up by looking at Mark 10. This is the story of the rich young ruler. I love Bill Vanderbush's talk on this. I'm not going to be Bill Vanderbush. We will have Bill Vanderbush back. If you don't know him, he is an incredible Bible teacher that we love to have here. But he did an in-depth study on this. But let's just go through this quickly. There's a young man who's rich, and he comes up to Jesus and asks, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And what's interesting is if you look at the New Testament, you know that eternal life is freely given and received through salvation, right? So what we know from looking at this story is that Jesus is taking the man from mission to mission critical. He's actually pointing at something a little deeper here. And Jesus responds and tells the man to obey the Ten Commandments, in which case the man says he has been keeping them since childhood perfectly. I'm like, oh, not sure about that, right? Who would say that? Most of us would say quite the opposite, right? That's why we're here, right? So then Jesus says, looking at him, Jesus showed love to him. I think that's beautiful. You could say Jesus used his ability in that moment. Instead of judging him and getting frustrated, he used his ability to love him. There's a choice when someone says something maybe not so intelligent, or to poke you, you have a choice in that moment. Am I going to love God and how I respond with my ability, or am I not going to love God, right? So Jesus showed love to him and said to him, "One thing you lack, go and sell all you possess and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and then follow me." But he was deeply dismayed by these words, and the rich man went away grieving, for he was one who owned much property. I think we often think, oh, when I have more, I will love God more with what I have, instead of starting where we're at and learning to prioritize God with the little. Because if you don't start with the little, you will not be able to start with the more very easily. And so it's so easy to say, well, in my next life season, I will be able to love God with all of this, instead of saying, I'm going to love God here. Don't disqualify yourself from loving God in every season with what you have. Amen? The World Health Organization defines poverty as $1.90 a day or $690 a year as salary. I didn't believe it, but I had Brian help me get that number. The World Health Organization defines poverty as getting $1.90 a day. We all have something to give. And I'm not talking about money here. Money's part of it, but I'm not talking about that. But how many know when you start talking, I always like to say money is the birds and bees conversation, right, for us adults. But it's just an easy way to think of your priorities, that's all. I'm not talking about finances per se, but $1.90 a day is actual poverty. And I'm not saying that some of us aren't impoverished here today or some of us don't have an abundance, but it's so easy to disqualify yourself, say, woe is me, I don't have anything to give. If you just knew what I'd been through, if you knew what I've done, you would know I am disqualified. And the blood of Jesus is crying out, saying, I qualify you. I qualify you because I have given you a place of influence in your life to love God with. Amen. So why don't we just stand here as we close? It says in Luke 16:10, whoever can be trusted with little can also be trusted with much, and whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. Have you ever done something with the little you have? Maybe it's time, whatever it is, and you think, well, when I have more, then it really matters what I do. Then it really matters how I think. Then I'll exercise more, or then I'll eat healthier more. It'll matter more, right? But you matter now. Amen? So Jesus, we just thank you for the gift of ability. And God, we thank you that you don't define ability by physical strength. And we're so grateful for that. You define ability by Christ in you, the hope of glory. Just like Pat said, we are more than conquerors because of you, Jesus. We no longer have to be victims to the world around us because you live inside of us. And you make us overcomers because your ability now lives inside of us. Your supernatural ability, your awareness, God, can live inside of us. So, Father, I ask that this week, any area where we have disqualified ourselves, God, we would hear your voice as our Father affirming us. Many of us never had a Father that affirmed our ability or our identity. But Jesus is here to speak truth into the core of who you are so that you can love him because he first loved you. So God, we thank you that you first loved us. And we thank you that there's enough love from you to give to others. So I just encourage you this week, anytime you're like, you know what? I don't have enough love to give to others. Instead of trying to buckle up, just pause. Be in his presence and receive. Lock yourself in the bathroom. Do whatever it takes. Take a moment and say, Jesus, I don't have enough love to get me through the day. I need to receive from you. Make me more aware of your love than my lack. I put my trust in your ability more than in my ability. And God, we repent, we turn away from any time when we have put more faith in ourselves than in you, God. And we thank you that we can depend on you so you can be strong in our weakness. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.